Amen. Good morning. How's everyone this morning? Good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Amen. Good to see everyone, for sure. Don't really think we have anyone visiting, but if you do, please fill out a little visitation card. We'd love to get in touch with you. All right. Looking forward to homecoming, everybody? Good to hear Brother Earl preach and eat some good food. Celebrate, what, 119 years? Is that right? Right, Jerry? You were back then, right? Jerry remembers. No, I'm just kidding. Was it 1899, I think, the church was founded? So, you mathematicians, I think that's 119 years. Sorry, Jerry, I was just messing with you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Hebrews. And for the past 3 or 4 weeks, we've been in Hebrews. And I think we're going to continue in Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 2. I've enjoyed studying, and I hope the message has meant something to you. God said His Word would go forth and accomplish what it was supposed to do. It would not return void, right? So the Word of God is the Word of God. So we're gonna look at Hebrews again. Chapter 2, verse 5 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 through 18. If you have a handout. Yeah. It's inside the bulletin. Does anyone need a handout? You did not get one. Everybody have a hand up? All right, great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here, and the Lord's the ones that we ask you to bless the guys that's not here and going about their life, vacationing, visiting family, and we just lift them up in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for this morning, the music, the hymns, and the songs. We just pray, Lord, for this message. Lord, help me deliver it how you put it on my heart. And let's just grow and become more and more like you as we study the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 through 18. So it's a lot of scripture, so let me read through them. Let's go. Verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, and we know that's in Psalms actually, but it has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 8. Putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, well, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. Verse 9, but we see him for a little while was made lower than angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Verse 12, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Verse 14, Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Everybody say amen? Amen. That's a lot of scriptures. We're going to cover them all this morning. And so bear with me, but what I'm going to do is break these scriptures down, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us. Everybody ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 through 18. Now, for most of you know that we've been going through Hebrews, and we learned that, you know, the Hebrew believers were struggling. They were struggling with this new gospel. They were struggling, and they were even considering relapsing, going back to Judaism. Remember that? So I'm going to keep driving that home, because I want to know who is this writer? Who is he talking to? And so they were struggling with this. So they were really trying to prove that Jesus was superior to angels, and that Jesus really was the answer. He was the good news. He was the gospel. Okay, so some of these Jewish believers were losing confidence in their Christian faith because they did not understand Jesus' humanity. Okay, so that's really kind of what we're going to talk about today, is why did Jesus come to earth as a man? We know from what we've studied so far that he's superior to angels. We knew because of this, because he's God Almighty, the third person, you know, the second person of the Holy Trinity. All right, so to live a confident Christian life, we need to understand why Jesus came to earth in flesh and blood. So if you have your notes, that's one of those. So here's the three reasons why Jesus. So when we study this Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 through 18, when we study it, there's basically three things that really stand out to me. Three things, and we're going to go over these three things this morning. Three reasons why Jesus came to earth as a man. He came to restore us. He came to reinstate us. And then he came to reassure us. So, restore, reinstate, and reassure. So let's look at the first one. He came to restore us. The writer began the book of Hebrews talking about in this scripture that the angels would not control the world to come. That he would not, that Jesus is going to do that. When you look at chapter 2, verse 6 and 8, it's really quoting Psalms. Hebrews quotes Psalms a lot. So if you're going to study even deeper into Hebrews, get ready to bounce in and out of Psalms. When you look up that word angel, when it talks about it in Psalms, it means Elohim. It's actually one of the names for God. So it says that in the Word, in this Hebrews, God's Word is telling us, I've got to listen closely to this so you won't misunderstand me. God is telling us that we are, and Jesus was, created a little lower than God. Okay, this is good, sound Christian doctrine, because the world tries to tell us the opposite of that. The world tries to tell us in the evolution doctrine that we're just a little above apes. Right? In the Bible, that's not it at all. The Bible teaches us that we are created a little lower, a lot lower, but you know, it literally says a little lower than God. Okay? The The purpose of this biblical truth in Hebrews is it gives us, as children of God, God created us. It gives us some significance. It gives us potential for the future, and it gives us purpose. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews declares we are temporarily lower than angels. Remember, we're taking Hebrews and we're trying to dissect it and digest it here, okay? So we know, it's obvious, that we have physical bodies. The angels have spiritual bodies, okay? We are earthbound right now, and angels are not. So, but I guarantee you, based on the Word of God, there's going to come a day when our inferiority to angels will end, right? It will end. God, in that future time, will put everything, according to Hebrews here, will put everything under His feet in subjection to Him. Now, God's original intention for human beings is to have dominion over all creation on earth. That was God's original intent. He created us in His image, in His likeness. He created us to be like Him, not in His power, not obviously not in His appearance, but in His dominion over earth. Genesis 1:26 clears it up. It says, this is God. It says, then God said, let us, who? The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was there. Holy Spirit was there. Then let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they rejected God's original plan. So what I'm telling you right now is what God's original plan was. Okay? Therefore, since we live in a fallen world at this present time right now, everything is not under man's dominion. We are no longer in control of anything with creation. I mean, most of us are afraid of spiders and snakes and scorpions and lions and tigers and bears. I mean, some folks are even afraid of a little mouse. I won't tell the story. We can't control the wind, can we? We can't control the seas. We are under the mercy of just nature. Even worse, we all age and we get older and then we die. We have lost what God originally intended for man when He created us. See, that's one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth. He was willing to become, Jesus was willing to become a little lower than angels, subjecting Himself to a physical body and being earthbound for a little while. Yet now we know that He's crowned with glory and glory, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and conquered death, hell, and the grave. We understand that. He suffered death. And when we look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, I'm going to read it again. Listen closely. It says, But we see Him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So that, everybody say, so that. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. You see, guys, the most tragic consequences of sin that entered into the world is death. That's why it says lust gives forth to sin, and sin gives forth to death. God warned Adam, didn't he? God warned Adam about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, allow me to read it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. When Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, whatever it was, they spiritually died. They spiritually became dead. And then their bodies began to, what? Die. Their physical bodies begin to die. Ephesians 2:1 says this. Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. You see, the good news of the gospel is that the cross broke that curse. And Jesus defeated the power of death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus' primary reason for coming to earth as a man in this physical body was to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins, and to defeat death. That's the primary reason. Jesus came to earth and died on the cross so that you and I will one day, not now, but one day regain what God Almighty had in mind when he created man. And glory, that will be a day one day, right? We were intended, listen guys, we were intended to fellowship with our Heavenly Father and have dominion over everything on this earth. But that was all broken. That was all broken by sin. Everybody with me? I know I'm going through those Hebrew verses. I'm not quoting each one, but I'm actually going through all those verses we just read. Let me tell you a quick story about broken. Lynn used to collect these old blue china plates. Anybody remember those? What we call them? Blue back plates? You knew if they were real if they you turn them on the back and they were what? Start to bleed through a little bit, you know? She would hang them on the wall in our dining room. And one day, a really special plate, one that my grandmother had gave her, fell off the wall and broke. It didn't bother me, but she was upset about it, you know? So we got the little all the stuff. We tried to glue it back together, and we hung it back on the wall. We glued it back the best we could, you know. And we glued it back on the wall. You could see that at one time, it was intended to be beautiful and valuable. But you could also see that it had been broken. It had been broken. You could see that, guys. We are all just broken replicas of what God originally intended us to be. That's why we're in such desperate need of a Savior that can restore us. We don't have it now, but one day we will be fully restored. And oh, what a day that will be. Jesus came to restore us. And number two, the message, he came to reinstate us. He came to reinstate us. When the human race was broken by sin, we lost our family relationship with God. Now, listen to this. I'm quoting chapter 2, verse 10 a little bit right here, okay? So this is what it says. This is not me making up this. This is what it says. It's because of who God is. Everybody ready? It was fitting. He uses the word fitting. It was fitting to make the founder of our salvation perfect through suffering. And that word perfect means complete. When Jesus was perfect, he was complete. And when he finished it on the cross, when he died on the cross, he said what? It is finished. It is complete. The salvation, the gospel, the good news is complete. Jesus laid that foundation for us. Whosoever now call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world, right? All those. It is complete. Nothing is as special and fulfilling as being part of a family. God was trying to reinstate us into the family, and he did. See, guys, it is a very, very lonely and deserted feeling not having a family. Jesus came so through many sons and children of God could come to glory or come to heaven. That's what it said in Hebrews. Jesus came so that many sons and daughters can come to him and be in glory. John 1:2 says this. John 1:12. But to all, everybody say all. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. He is our Father. Through Christ, we have been reconciled to him. Hebrews talks about Jesus as the one who sanctifies us. Therefore, those who are sanctified all have one source, Hebrews says. It's the Father. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word sanctified means to make holy. To make holy. Jesus became our sanctifier, the one who makes us holy. That's what Hebrews says. This is the only way we can eventually get into heaven. We can't get into heaven any other way but to be holy and righteous and sanctified and perfect, which means complete, right? And none of us are there now, for sure. But eventually, we will be. But spiritually, that's the way God sees us. See, what we're talking about here is it's positional holiness, not practical holiness. So I had to look that one up. It's what the theologians say. In practice, we are not holy at all. Our righteousness is a filthy rags. What we're talking about is positional. Positionally, God doesn't see us outside of Christ. Praise the Lord, right? He sees us in the future, covered in the blood, washed in the blood of the Lamb, worthy to be covered and cleansed. And he's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. How does that happen? That all happened on that old rugged cross when Jesus died on the cross. We place our faith in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now this is liberating. And this is what the writer of Hebrews was trying to explain to these folks who were considering like giving up the gospel and going back to living by the law. All that stuff. See, the author of Hebrews writes that the Messiah The Messiah will proclaim God's name to his brothers. He's quoting more Psalms there. Psalms 22, I think it is. Yes. He's talking about he will sing praises in the congregation. He goes on and talks about Isaiah. The author amplifies the previous verse by saying, he is our brothers. He's our sisters. It says brothers, but I'll throw in sisters. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters because of the common righteousness we have in him. Amen. Romans 3:22. Listen to this. Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Guys, Jesus became a human being, sharing in our flesh, because only then could he experience death and destroy the one who has the power of death, who is the devil. That's what we just read in Hebrews. Go study that one a little bit. Jesus delivers us from what Hebrews calls the slavery, the bondage of the fear of death. See, a lot of people carry that big ball and chain around their neck or their legs, and that fear and that bondage of death and what is going to happen to me when I die. It's a huge, big fear for unbelievers. And I hope it's not for any of you guys who are believers. You see, guys, when we die, when we pass away, be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord, but when we pass away, we're just going to change addresses. Right? We're going to heaven. Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We no longer need to fear death because Jesus rose from the dead. We know that there is life after death. Can I get an amen for that? Instead of fearing death, we need to be like Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is because Jesus came to earth as a man to reinstate us as brothers and sisters into the family of God. So Jesus came to restore us. He came to reinstate us. And he also came to reassure us. To reassure us. This is the third one. This is the last one. Hebrews says Jesus didn't come to die for angels. He came to die for the descendants of Abraham. And that means all believers today were all descendants of Abraham. And that means it includes all of us. I looked it up. Abraham was my great-grandfather times 75. It's pretty cool. I had to do the math. Look up, you know, Abraham was around, I think, 1900 B.C. So I figured, I gotta stop drinking. I figured about 50 years. I know 40 years in a generation and all that. So I figured about 50 years, and I did the math and went all the way back. And so my great grandfather, times 75, was Abraham. Hebrews 2:16 says, "For surely it is not angels that he has helped." Just read that verse. It's the offspring of Abraham. And Genesis 22, verse 17 and 18, allow me to read this to you. It says, this is God talking to Abraham, right? He says, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand and the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of enemies." And verse 18 says, "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Galatians 3:29, I love this. Listen close to this short little verse. It says, and if you are Christ's, in other words, if you're born again, saved, born again, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. To bring about salvation, it was necessary for Jesus to be made in every way like his brothers. In every way. Now let's read Hebrews again. We already went through this, but Hebrews 2:17. Let's look at it again. Listen closely. It says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Look, guys, Jesus, sometimes we don't look at it like this. But Jesus didn't just look like a human. He was human in every respect. Except he never sinned. Amen? Now, on a lighter side, I'm kind of weird. Y'all know that. Sometimes, but I have a vivid imagination. And often I think about how Jesus and his disciples, and they were a bunch of men, they were going through the woods and over the mountainsides and on the dirt roads and just traveling. You know, I know there were times of reverence and, you know, studying and spiritual things, but I mean, it was a bunch of men. I love the picture of them just laughing and, you know, cutting up with one another and playing jokes on each other and, you know, just messing around. Maybe at night they were sitting around a fire and someone was telling some crazy stories and they were just laughing and having a good time. And, you know, I could see them out there stopping for a minute, grabbing an old rock and throwing it. And Peter saying, let me see, pick up a rock and throw it further. And they get in some competition about who could throw a rock the furthest. And, you know, they were just men. Jesus was a man, just like us, flesh and blood. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus had gas. I mean, don't laugh at me. He was just a man, just like me, right? They had a lot of figs, and they had a lot of dates, and bread, and grains, and you know, a lot of fish, mainly mullet. That stuff gives me gas. Ask Lynn, where's she at? She had to go. Rapture out. But seriously, you know, he was a man. I say that to not be disrespectful. God knows my heart. I mean, he's a man just like us. I imagine right now Jesus and Peter, you know, if they're in heaven, probably laughing at me right now. Say, oh, God, I can't believe Dallas did it in the pulpit. You don't talk like that. Peter's probably looking over at Jesus and shaking his head, saying to Jesus, if Dallas only knew, if he only knew. I can't wait to tell him about all of our adventures. And I'm being serious. I can't wait to talk to those cats, man. I can't wait to talk to them. We all long to see Jesus and talk to him. I want to talk to some of the other guys too, you know. We're going to have a long time to do that. Just talk about all the adventures they had that wasn't written down in the Bible, you know. Wow, crazy miracles that wasn't written in the Bible. Grand adventures and things and what Jesus got for the world. And I can't wait. I'm very practical sometimes. And so if that offends you, I apologize. Just keep coming back. And, you know, really, Jesus was just a man. He became our high priest to make propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, propitiation. I talk about a lot because it's so powerful. The atonement. In other words, Jesus paid the price for our sins. He satisfied the judgment of Almighty God. And he reconciled us to the Father. And you've heard me tell the story, if there was an earthly judge and some guy did a really, really bad thing and the earthly judge just let him go for some crazy, dumb reason, we wouldn't respect that judge. That judge would not be honorable, would he? We'd have no respect for that judge. He would not be an honorable judge if he did not lay down the law, if he doesn't, you know, he wasn't just. Well, God's the same way. He's a just God. In this case, propitiation means that all of us were found guilty, worthy of death and punishment. And Jesus stepped in. God came down, right, into human flesh and died on the cross, all the whipping and beatings, and died on the cross and took the payment for our sins. Really let that sit in. Our punishment that we should receive, Jesus took it for us. That's propitiation. That's what Hebrews is saying. It's powerful. It's liberating when you really truly understand the good news of the gospel. By becoming human in every way, Jesus experienced every feeling that we could ever have. Jesus was tempted, mistreated, abused, lied about, rejected, betrayed, beaten, and even killed. Because our Lord was tempted, He is able to help us when we are tempted. Hebrews 2:18, we've already read it, but read it again, 2:18. It's our memory verse for the week. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Regular temptation is not a possibility. It is a certainty in the Christian life. All of us will be tempted. We are tempted. We will go through it. When we are tempted, Jesus, according to Hebrews, Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest who helps us. Understand this, there are no new temptations because all temptations are common. When we are tempted, God is faithful. He will not allow anything on us. We can resist it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm starting to close here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we're all familiar with it, but I'm going to read it. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation," everybody hear this, "but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Man, I hammer that one home with my clients at Penfield. Pray for this little family. There's always something going on at Penfield where I work, you know. There's a little fellow that came to VBS. Some of you with Vacation Bible School, you might remember him. He was a young guy, looked like a hippie. Had a cut-off shirt. His hair kind of back in a ponytail. And wore all the hippie jewelry. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? Young guy. He hung himself. He died. Sure did. The other morning, he graduated and went home. Started drinking again. And he hung himself, killed himself. So young folks, let me tell you something about the... I'm going to pause right here. And you old folks, you just hang on. Okay, sit right there in your chair. But you young folks, let me tell you something about Adam and Eve. It said, do not partake from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So some of you guys have no idea. You have no knowledge about what drugs and alcohol can do to you. That's why he said, do not partake from that tree. Do not gain that knowledge. Because once you do, and you do that cocaine or alcohol or take that pain pill like your little friend might be trying to get you to do, once you acquire that knowledge and that drug gets into your system and goes into your brain and releases those unnatural amount of chemicals in your brain and gives you a real big high, for the rest of your life you'll understand what that means. You'll have that temptation will be there for you, but some of you can't be tempted by that right now. But if you disobey God and you go outside here and you partake of and you gain the knowledge from that evil, and that's another thing you got to worry about that can come up and catch you and take you down. So don't ever do drugs and alcohol. Don't ever partake from that tree of that knowledge and gain that knowledge of that evil. Amen? You young guys, you hear me? Then Satan can't use that against you. Our high priest is not some impersonal cosmic force that is indifferent to our needs. Jesus understands our needs. He is our high priest. He sympathizes with us. Jesus knows our hurts. Jesus knows our pain and our weakness. He knows what those strong appeals of our temptations are. Jesus went through those. He understands those feelings. There's nothing that can be tempted that's common to man. He says, call on him. Call on Jesus. Listen to him. And trust him. To live a confident, mature Christian life, we need to truly understand why Jesus came to earth as a man in flesh and blood. He came to earth to restore us. He came to reinstate us, and he came to reassure us of our salvation and his love for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, over every person here, the hearers. Pray for these young folks, Lord, and they will be obedient to your word. Or if there's one here today that's never been saved, I ask God that they will come down during the song of invitation and give their life to Christ. We love you. We thank you. We desperately need your guidance and your wisdom. Lord, we're completely, everything within us are dependent on your wisdom and your guidance. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.